From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in your sky, and your sky might be different than mine today. This is not the weather we hoped for on Eclipse Day, but it is also leaving the possibility of some breaks and some good luck. It is not raining. It is not snowing. The eclipse will happen in just a few hours, and it feels strange, eerie, surreal. This eclipse is a kind of celestial holiday, and for most of us, it will come exactly once in a lifetime. We can dwell on our luck. We can think of the past 48 hours, the cloudless skies that we had in Rochester, which would have been a solar and lunar jackpot. Or we can experience what this is for us in the path of totality. It might not be perfect, but it will be ours. We welcome you to call the program today to describe what it's like for you. And Connections will have a special third hour today from 3 to 4 p.m. I'll be live on the WXXI roof. And I know it's kind of odd to broadcast what is primarily a visual event, but like I said, there is no perfect way to do this. So let's just experience it together. I woke up to sunshine in the backyard and immediately felt a kind of melancholy, a sadness knowing that we just missed something historically special for everyone. Rochester could have been the center of the universe if we had connected with that weather sweet spot. But I am moving on. I'm looking forward to whatever comes. We know that for the next several hours, this cloud deck is pushing to the east. Will we get enough of a push to get the breaks that we want? Well, we're going to find out. This hour, we begin with astrophysicist Adam Frank from the University of Rochester. Adam's voice is all over CNN and NPR today. He is one of the great science communicators I know. And who better to lead off Eclipse Day than the great Adam Frank?
My pleasure to be back.
You've done a lot of cool things in your career. You literally created a calculation that estimates how many technological civilizations have ever possibly existed in the universe. So you've done some cool stuff. This eclipse ranks where in your world of coolness?
Very high. This eclipse, especially if we get to see it, like, you know, all the way through, may rank as the coolest thing that's happened astronomically in my life.
Why do you say that? I mean, for a lot of us, this is a very new experience. Eclipses for you, I kind of thought might be old hat.
No, I've not. The only time I've ever seen an eclipse was a crappy partial eclipse when I was like 9 years old in New Jersey. I just haven't, you know, seen them. I haven't, you know, gone anywhere where I've ever had the chance to see, you know, especially a full eclipse, a total eclipse with the corona showing up and everything. So, you know, this is high on my list of super cool.
And what about it do you think? I mean, this is such a weird question, I know, but like, how spiritual will it feel? I mean, nobody knows until they're in that 3 minutes and 38 seconds. I get it. But like, I mean, do you have a sense of what you are expecting?
No, not really, right? Because it's one of those things that, you know, you can think about it philosophically, you can think about it scientifically, but really it's the experience, right? We are animals born of this world. And one of the things that occurs in this world are moments when the moon passes in front of the sun. And it's been happening for billions of years. Actually, it's only been, the total eclipses are only a billion years. It's only been a billion years since we've been able to have these, separate point. But so, you know, this is something that the Earth and its inhabitants have been involved in for all that time. And, you know, I'm going to have a direct experience of it. And so no words, no, you know, until I actually have that experience, there's nothing I can do other than wait for it. So, yeah, that's what I'm kind of really excited about.
I heard you on another radio program that I shall not mention. I'm amazed that there are other radio programs, it turns out.
But yours is the one that matters.
Well, let's just state the obvious here. And one of the questions, one of the questions was about, you know, just these minute calculations. And interestingly enough, you know, I know a lot of people in the Finger Lakes. I know people in Penyan. Penyan is now kind of right in the path of the edge of totality. In fact, there's someone in Penyan who, if they just stay in their backyard, they're going to be half in, half out. I don't even really know what that means, but that is how close. And that shifted by something like half a mile in the last couple of weeks. What that says to me is when you think about the ancient world, ancient to us, seeing these eclipses and being wondering if it was the gods sending a message or the world ending. And now, days out, we can be like, no, we missed it by 300 meters. So just be ready if you need to move half a mile. I think that is amazing. I wonder how you see it.
I see it the exact same way, that we understand all of the dynamics of all, you know, every planet pulling on every other planet and the minute details of the orbits, and then also understanding kind of what's going on the sun, that you can have that kind of acuity, you know, one of my favorite words. And it also shows, you know, about what science is capable of for things like climate change, right? The fact that we can make a prediction about exactly where this shadow, you know, that the moon is casting on the Earth, that we can predict it with that kind of accuracy, shows the kind of power that we have in understanding the clockwork of the universe. And that includes planets and how they respond to dumping a bunch of CO2 into their atmospheres. And so, you know, the predictive power of science began with, and its importance began with, these eclipses, because eclipses were so dramatic, you know, they freaked people out so much that, you know, you could lose the mandate of heaven if an eclipse occurred. So predicting, you know, so for the ancient world, like, eclipses really, you know, could be seen as omens that could overthrow the king. So, you know, the state invested in having the priest astronomers, you know, keeping records over lifetimes. And so really the birth of modern science, you can trace back to the effect these eclipses had on people.
And yet it's going to be really funny if the eclipse happens at like 8 p.m. instead of, you know, 3 p.m. Like, wow, we were close, but we missed it by 5 hours. Not going to happen. Although I would laugh. I want you to know I would find that funny.
That would be – no, I would find that funny too, because it would just sort of show that the universe is always throwing you a curveball. But, you yeah. know, what we know about – that can't happen. That just can't happen. If that did happen, that would be intervention by, you know, a deity or something, or aliens, or like, yeah, really super powerful aliens. Because, you know, we understand the movement of the solar – of the bodies in the solar systems and their effect on each other. We have this – incredible poetry, you know, which is the mathematics that allows us to see into its mechanisms, into its clockwork, as is the word I'm using before, with such incredible power that that's just not possible.
Is
that wrong?
Is there some hiking trail that you can be on, that you can climb to a top of the hill and just be alone for this? I mean, I don't know what your plan is.
Well, my plan is to be in my backyard, because right now I'm scheduled. CNN asked me to be on for like 4 hours, you know, for the whole thing, from, or 3 hours. So I'm doing like color commentary for the, which I'm really looking forward to. So in that case, you know, I really can't go anywhere. So I'm going to be in my backyard in Irondequoit, which is actually very good. You know, the backyard is pretty big, so I'll get a good view of the sky. So that's my plan for the eclipse.
Let me wrap just by asking you a little bit about how you see the impact on science and public education in this. One of the really enjoyable ongoing series of programs we have on Connections is with yourself and some students, and I think we're going to get back to that very soon, talking about the process of becoming a scientist and learning everything that it entails, and then helping the public understand what that means, because obviously there are different forces, sometimes political, sometimes just a misunderstanding of how the scientific method would work or processes work. And so do you think an event like this that has captured millions of people's attention will improve the interest in science, the public understanding? I mean, are you optimistic that there's a positive net effect even after the eclipse is over?
Yeah, I think there's actually a bunch of positive effects. One is science, right? That people, we're talking about this. We're talking about the planets and their alignments and the motion. So everybody's getting this amazing class on, you know, looking up and seeing the universe for the glory that it is and the glory that science reveals it to be. So I think that's wonderful. The other thing I think that's really nice that may come out of this, you know, there's going to be millions of people, you know, across that band of totality, all getting together to watch this amazing event. And they're not Democrats and they're not Republicans, you know, they're Americans, right? All getting together to do this fundamentally human thing of marveling at the universe. And I think there's a certain way of, like, in that moment of awe, all of these stupid stories we have about each other can just be dropped, and we can just be, you know, Americans. We can just be human beings and, you know, be startled at how beautiful the world is.
Last question, then. I think that is a wonderful sentiment, and I am not cynical enough to even debate it. I think that people will probably feel that way. Do you still, given the fact that this is your life's work, do you still feel a sense of wonder and smallness when you get these moments?
Oh, my God, every day. Every time I go outside and I look at the stars, I have that exact same feeling. And the smallness is a good smallness. What I feel, it's a smallness that becomes a largeness, you know, becomes infinite. Because when I stand under the stars, or certainly when I we'll see what happens, but when, you know, I'm watching the sun get covered by the moon's shadow, I have that sense of being connected, that my particular story with all of its, you know, mishigas and all of its ups and downs, it's not that important. It's just one story out of an entire, you know, vast book of stories that the universe has put together. So every time I look at the stars, or I look, you know, even the forests are enough for me too, but especially the stars, it reminds me of my connection to the, you know, to everything, that I'm interwoven with the whole universe.
All right, no naps. I mean, you got to stay awake. Everybody's working a lot. We're working late. We're tired. No naps. It would be very bad to wake up at 4 p.m. and be like, oh.
Oh, my God. That would be terrible. Oh, I missed it.
We missed it.
Yeah, you only have to wait another 80 years.
That's Adam Frank joining us, the Helen F. and Fred H. Gowan Professor in the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Rochester. And we really appreciate Adam's time. Adam is off now to talk to CNN and NPR for the rest of the day. Thank you to Adam. And before I get to some of your phone calls, I see the phone ringing. We're going to be talking to eclipse chasers. I want to hit an email from Chad, who writes to say, Evan, will you be conducting any scientific experiments this afternoon to observe any possible effects of changes in gravity? I'm going to read this again. So, producer Megan Mack, did you hear what Chad sent? Did you hear that? Are we going to be conducting any scientific experiments this afternoon? We are. We haven't told Miles, the engineer, yet that we are, but Miles is going to be doing that. Miles is going to be measuring gravity. Is that part of your skill set, Miles? Miles can do pretty much everything. So if anybody can do this, I believe it's our engineer. But no, if you've never met me in person, Chad, I can just tell you that I am not the guy that you want conducting any scientific experiments. He does say maybe dropping water balloons with assessing the amount of water and, you know, from the roof and timing how long it takes for them to fall before, during, and after the eclipse. I love this idea. I'm just not the person to do it, Chad. So I appreciate that very much. Patrick sends a note to say that the weather is uniquely Rochester for this time of year, so let's embrace it. He said, you know, it's still going to get thunderstorm dark out during the eclipse. It's going to be happening. And Patrick had a couple drive in from Brooklyn to stay at his apartment. If you are listening to your NPR station in Rochester and the Finger Lakes today, if you're listening on WEOS in the Finger Lakes, if you're listening on WXXI across the Rochester region, and you are from out of the region, welcome. It's great to have your ears and part of this broadcast today as we get ready for totality and the eclipse this afternoon. It's great to have you along. And I want to bring in Walt Apple, who is an eclipse chaser from, I'm going to say it's Wine and Skill, Walt. Is that right? How did I do?
Hey, that sounded good to me.
Is it Wine? How do you pronounce your hometown?
That's it, Wine and Skill.
Wine and Skill. That's in the Capital District. And you're going to be watching from the Seneca Park Zoo, is that right?
Yep, that's where we are right now.
All right, so when you guys thought about where you could go, why did you settle on Rochester?
Oh, we decided Rochester. We went to the 2017 eclipse down in Kentucky, and it was just a little bit too far to go this time. So we decided Rochester. It was a good 3.5 hours from the Capital District, so kind of close, and lots to do here in Rochester. So there were, you know, good choices to switch around if we needed to.
I don't want to make you feel bad, but my hometown of Cleveland, Ohio, is wall-to-wall sunshine, and they're in the path of totality. I don't think you've got time to get there, though. And you know what? I'm still an optimist here. What we know, and we're going to be talking to Josh Nichols, WXXI meteorologist, coming up, we know that the cloud deck is pushing eastward. It's a question of just how much pushing we can get done in the next 3 hours or so. For you, Walt, when did you get into town? What was the plan for the entire trip? Are you heading right out afterwards? What are you doing?
No, we came in yesterday, so we got here a little bit earlier. Traffic wasn't bad coming in. I know there were some reports saying it was it seemed to be worse, but I don't think it was any worse than normal Sunday. And we're actually staying till tomorrow. So we took the kids out of an extra day of school tomorrow. And, you know, hopefully some of the traffic will ease up by then, and we'll head home probably tomorrow midday.
I don't know if you're feeling the way I am here, Walt, because I kind of got up this morning knowing that there were a lot of people like yourself who have come to our region just for 48 hours or 24 hours. And yet this morning I drove into work, it was empty. And it was like, I mean, I understand this is essentially a holiday. A lot of businesses are shut down for part or most of the day. But here I am right in the heart of downtown. I'm looking over at Innovative Field, and they have an event that is just opening the gates now. And, it's quiet over there now. It's going to pick up in the next couple of hours, but it feels very weird to me. I don't know where you've been so far today or how it has felt or, frankly, what it felt like 7 years ago when you were at the last eclipse.
Yeah, I feel the same way as I thought it was going to be much more crowded, at least some of the cities, some of the side roads. And it doesn't seem crowded at all. So I don't know if people, I think, like you said, a lot of places planned ahead and maybe closed down for the day. And people are just staying home because if you live in this area, you really don't have to go anywhere. You can just go into your backyard.
What was it like 7 years ago for you? What was that experience like?
7 years ago, it was pretty awesome. I mean, it was our first time seeing totality. And, it's an altering experience because, it's light out and then all of a sudden it just goes pitch black. And I heard you say it will be like thunderstorm dark out. And that's what it was like. We had some overcast clouds last time in 2017. They weren't quite as thick as they are today, but, I'm hoping that they're going to burn off a little bit, move out, and the eclipse is just going to change some stuff in the cloud cover.
What do you make of the eclipse cynics, Walt? We're going to have one on later this hour. It's our WXXI Investigations and City Hall reporter, Gino Finelli, who has proudly grabbed that mantle of cynic about this whole thing. What do you make of that?
I see a lot of them. I see a lot of posts about it saying, why are people going here and there? And, it's worthless and things like that. But I think once you experience an eclipse, it completely changes your attitude in regards to future eclipses. And especially if you're in the totality range, because you get that experience of it going dark in the middle of the day. So it's a really, really awesome experience to behold.
I don't have the map in front of me, Walt, but where you are in Wynnetskill in the Capital District area, I don't know how far that is from Albany, and I don't know how far outside of the path of totality that is. You couldn't have stayed home, though, for this one, right?
No, I think we were at 97%, maybe 95% in the Capital District. So they'll get a little bit. It's going to get a little, cloudy seeming or a little gray. But they won't get the darkness that we're going to get out here.
When you talk to people back home who hadn't been like you had 7 years ago and experienced this, I think a lot of people, in the Southern Finger Lakes down in Ithaca, you talk to people and they'd say, well, we're going to be like 98 or 96%. And like, isn't that the same thing? And, you probably had to try to dissuade people from assuming that's essentially the same thing.
Yeah. And, there was a post I saw that explained it best, and it showed 99%. It still had the bright sun, and then 100% was just darkness. And of course, it was a picture, but that's really what it's like. People don't realize that even if you're at 98%, 99%, you're not going to get that darkness. You're going to experience it, but you're not going to get the full experience. So, I figured why not travel, take the kids out of school for a day. They actually got today off as an extra leftover snow day. So they're only missing one day of school tomorrow to have a good experience.
There you go. And did you and did they spend yesterday thinking, why could this not be eclipse day? I think we all kind of had a little bit of that.
I was thinking that yesterday. I kept saying to myself, if it's like this tomorrow, we're going to have a great experience. And then even this morning, woke up, looked outside, and it was pretty clear out. And the clouds seemed to move in pretty quick, but I'm hoping, like you are, that they're going to move out pretty quick as well.
Before I let you go, Walt, how are you enjoying time in Rochester? What have you thought of it so far?
Yeah, I like Rochester. We've been out here a couple times. We came out actually during the coronavirus as a brief vacation. We used this as our base spot. And then we went to places like Strong Museum, to the zoos, Niagara Falls. So, it's a good base area for Western New York to do a lot of different things.
And you strike me as an optimistic person. Are you going to be, if we don't see a change in the cloud deck and if it is hard to see much of the sun, are you still going to feel good about this trip or are you going to feel a little wistful?
No, I'm still going to feel good about this trip regardless, because even if we can't see the sun fully, we're still getting the experience out there. And then we chose the zoo as a backup to do it here just to see what the difference is with the animals. And, the kids get to see the animals throughout the day as well.
That is an interesting point. And we are going to talk to our WXXI's Beth Adams about house pets later this hour. She actually did a piece on that, but that's quite different than wild animals or even animals at the zoo. So that'll be an interesting experience for sure. Are they open? I don't know when the zoo is open today exactly, Walter. Are you expecting it to be pretty heavy there?
I don't think it's going to be too heavy here. I mean, we've been here since they opened at 10. They're open until 4, I believe. And, you know, it's moderate cloud or crowds, but, you know, I expected a lot more people here today, but it's not too bad at all right now.
Have fun. Thank you for sharing your experience. And I really do hope it's a great day for you and your family here, Walt.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Walt Apple, who is an Eclipse Chaser from Wine and Skill, New York Wine and Skills in the Capital District area. And they made the drive west to Rochester, Walt telling us that they were in Kentucky 7 years ago and decided to make the trip with the kids. And there they are at the Seneca Park Zoo this afternoon. So thanks to Walt. If you are someone who just wants to kind of share your experience about what you're seeing so far, we're going to try to kind of team up as a connections community as we get closer to this thing and just talk a little bit about what we are seeing. We know that the likelihood, and Josh will fill us in a minute, but the likelihood so far is that the farther west you are, the better chance you have of getting breaks in the clouds. So, for example, if you're all the way over in Cleveland where I grew up, you've got all kinds of sunshine. If you're in the Jamestown to Buffalo area, it's starting to get a little thinner, I think. That's just what I've been reading. But Josh Nichols, meteorologist, will help us out with that in just a moment. Let me get Frank in Greece on the phone who has been waiting. Hey, Frank, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for having me on the air. A lot of people say they see the eclipse or they see the stars and they feel insignificant. I feel just the opposite. I am part of the stars and the stars are part of me. We're all made up of the same simple molecules. And the fact that I can see it and to a certain degree comprehend it makes me feel more welcome in it. I'm excited today because I'm going to see one moon circle one planet around one star in one arm of one galaxy. And it's
great
that there's more out there is welcoming to me and comforting to me, and I don't have to have all the answers because they don't either, and the sun will come out.
Well,
the sun will come out.
Before I let you go, Frank, why do you think that you have this sense of wonder and not a sense of cynicism?
Name one great thing a cynic has done. Where's the cynic Statue of Liberty? Where's the cynic Apollo program? Where's the cynic Brooklyn Bridge? Where's the cynic Eiffel Tower?
Wow. You know, that's I've never thought about it that way, Frank. I honestly never have.
Well, it's just to be brief, I did hear a remarkable quote from Joseph Stalin, perhaps king of cynics. He said, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions, but at least they have paved roads."
Frank, thank you. I really do hope it's a great day for you, and I appreciate that phone call. I'm appreciating the optimism. I think the last few hours I have tried to have this, I'm trying to will this transformation in my spirit about this thing, because when I got up and I saw that little bit of dappled sunlight in the backyard, I just thought, oh boy. I was trying to resist that feeling of kind of resentment that the universe missed us by one day or even 6 to 9 hours. We had roughly 50 straight hours of perfectly clear skies in Rochester and the Finger Lakes in early April. That's unusual. And we missed it just by a little bit. I mean, it was like we were playing the Price is Right range game, and we needed the eclipse to be in the perfect golden sky range, but we stopped it too late. And here we are. But you know what? I'm shifting back into that optimism. And when we get a chance to talk to Josh Nichols, WXXI meteorologist, we're going to do that. It's going to be our chance to kind of get the very, very latest hot off the press of what we are seeing in the upper atmosphere and what these clouds are doing and how hard it's pushing to the east and what we could possibly do to speed that up. For now, let's take our only break of the hour and we'll come back with a lot more on Eclipse Day with you right here on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we were supposed to see up to 500,000 people visiting our region this past weekend through today. And some businesses are telling us they stayed open way longer than usual. They were packed. Wondering what you've seen, we're going to talk to the business community and we'll talk to some more eclipse chasers as we get closer to totality. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. It is Eclipse Day, and I'm grateful to have Josh Nichols, WXXI meteorologist, on the line with us. Everybody is thinking about just how good of a chance we're going to have in a couple of hours to see more of this thing, and we are hopeful, although we are trying to be realistic. And Josh, thank you for making time for us, my friend.
You're so welcome, Evan. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I know that, you know, we've all tried to get over the I wish it had been this past weekend when we had perfect skies, and that's not the case. So when I look at what I have seen in the last half hour before I knew we were going to have a chance to talk to you, it looks to me like this cloud deck's trying to push east. And if you're all the way over in Cleveland, you're in great shape. If you're in between Cleveland and Rochester, it, you know, it looks like it wants to thin out. But that might be the optimist in me. Can you take us through what we're seeing, Josh?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm by the way, if you hear noise in the background, that is Niagara Falls.
All right. That is the actual Niagara Falls.
That is the actual, right. The actual. So I'm live here for Channel 7 at the observation deck in Niagara Falls. And moments ago, we did have some thinning to the overcast. It is a mid-level deck of clouds. So you're going to need a real good push of dry air to kind of thin these out. And what I saw is what you saw, the clearing over the western end of Lake Erie, that is moving northeast. Now, of course, the timing is just such that, you know, if it gets here too soon here in Niagara Falls, then, you know, it's kind of wasted once again. But I think it's at least a partial view, not just for Buffalo and Niagara Falls, but for Rochester. I know the cloud deck is, you know, it is thin in spots. And so as long as you don't have low-level moisture, which we really don't, then you're in good shape. You know, if we can just keep it a mid-level deck or a high deck, then, you know, you will be able to have, you know, some interesting effects still. You know, it's just really a fingers crossed thing at this point.
Yeah, I think what you're describing too, Josh, is what I felt like when I went out to the roof. We're going to be broadcasting from the roof of WXXI from 3 to 4. And when I went out to the roof late this morning, I just found myself thinking, I would take this. I can see the sun. It is through the, you know, a cloud deck, but I can look at it. And so I would take that if you offered it to me, as opposed to, you know, hoping that I get an actual clear break and a clear shot at it versus, you know, the possible thick stuff. Is it possible that there will be breaks that some will literally get a direct shot at it in Western New York?
It is. It is. Absolutely. I think the further west of Rochester that you go, the better off you would be in picking up on some of those breaks. Again, it's just a matter of that clear slot. It's a remarkable clear slot. I mean, I don't think any of the computer modeling depicted that. And you know, that's something that, you know, I've tried to kind of reinforce here in some of my forecasts, because a lot of people in anticipation of this event for so long, and they've been asking me, you know, weeks in advance, you know, what is the cloud cover? And I say, you know, and it's impossible. There's no computer model out there that could say, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday, April 8th, it will be, you know, X amount of cloudiness in the sky. And if somebody tries to tell you that, they should also tell you what the Dow Jones Industrial Average will close at the closing bell.
Well, and I love that they're like 6 weeks out, Josh. What's the weather going to be like in 6 weeks? So maybe I'll close with that point. I want to express my gratitude to you, Josh. And I think that you've done a very good job of expressing, with honesty, the uncertainty. You've given us the range of possibilities. And frankly, I think that has been on the money. When you look at, that doesn't mean that 8 days ago you said, here's what's going to happen. It means as we got closer, you let us know that this is going to be changing and there's going to be different models. And here we are. I think that we've been very, very fortunate for those who wanted to plan and try to get as close to the best view as they can. So thank you for that. And as we go through the next couple of hours, now it's just in the hands of the skies. And I'm going to be optimistic. I think an hour ago I was less optimistic. I'm more optimistic now. And you're giving me that permission to at least be optimistic.
Yes. Again, low-level clouds, the enemy of the eclipse. And right now, these look like mid and high level clouds. And so that's good. That's good. You know, you might be able to get, you know, some kind of visibility of this, you know, just, you know, the most remarkable celestial event, you know, that mankind can view. And, you know, we all want to see at least some of it. You know, one thing is for sure, Evan.
Yep.
It will get dark.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is for sure, it will get dark. And of course, we have to remind everybody too, you know, about the viewing. You know, eclipse glasses are a must. And I think that even during totality, people should just keep them on. You know, because it's better safe than sorry.
Thank you. I know there's a lot of people who need your services. Thanks for sharing your expertise with us, my friend.
You are welcome, my friend. Take care.
Josh Nichols, WXXI meteorologist, live from Niagara Falls. And again, I'm not trying to tell anybody to get on the road and drive west, but Josh is saying that if you want to increase your odds, the farther west you go today from Rochester, the better the chance you are going to have at seeing some kind of, not only the sun at eclipse, but if you want to try to see stars in a clear sky, the farther west you go, the better the chance you have. In the meantime, let's just keep hoping that we are pushing that cloud deck east and east and east. Shirley in Rochester has been waiting to jump in. Hello, Shirley.
Hi, Evan. How are you?
Very good.
Good. I'm just wondering how the anticipated numbers of visitors to Rochester, how are those numbers determined? Do you know?
You're talking about the 300,000 to 500,000 number?
Yeah. How are those reached, that number? How was that?
So it's a good question. I don't have... I'm going to give you two answers on this, and in a moment we're going to talk to my colleague Gino Finelli from WXXI, who is a little bit of a skeptic about some of those numbers. He just wants good data sourcing for it. So here's what I would tell you. I think it's a mix, Shirley. I think some of it is looking at past eclipses. This event 7 years ago that happened, that you had, you know, hundreds of miles of American cities that were in the path of totality, and they were able to relay what kind of visitors they got. So that was part of it. Another part of it was the fact that Rochester is within a day's drive, or, you know, a one tank trip of New York City, which is a big, big metro area that could send more visitors our way, as opposed to going to Cleveland or Columbus or Cincinnati. So that was another part of it. And then I think some of it was just optimism, you know, probably some hopefulness, but we have not been able to get a hotel room free in this city for the number of weeks now. So, I mean, I think some of it is correct. And I guess I'll make one other point, and then I'll let you kind of weigh in on why you're calling. But next hour, we are going to talk to some business owners, and they have told me, and this is anecdotal, this is not data, this is anecdata, but the anecdata is pretty strong that we've seen a surge in beyond typical spring numbers for restaurants, for places that typically see tourism. Is it 300 to 500,000? You know, I don't know. I probably not, but I don't know the answer to that. So I would leave it back to you. What do you think?
Well, I was just basing it on driving around the community. The traffic has been relatively light. And
so I think very light this morning. Yeah, I felt the same thing.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's because people are staying home, you know, there's no school. I don't know what the reason is, but I was just curious.
Yeah, it's a really good question. Shirley, thank you. And so let me just add to the point that Shirley is making there before we bring in Gino Finelli. Shirley's point's an interesting one, because I felt the same thing this morning. When I was driving into High Falls here, I'm looking around. High Falls garage was totally empty. It was like 2 weeks into the pandemic empty. And you look around, I'm looking across at Innovative Field, their event opening up. You know, they expect it to pick up as we get closer to 2 o'clock, but not much there. I think probably what's happening is it's a little bit lighter a total number than was projected. That's just a guess. That's not data. Don't take that to the bank. And it's probably also a case where people are waiting to go where they're going until the next hour or so to experience this thing. And some people have come into the region and they're staying with friends and they're going to stay in someone's backyard. So I think it's a combination, but it does feel weird. It feels very weird to me. And maybe Gino Finelli is just going to pop in and say, no, it was all bunk, and I told you so. Is that what you're ready to do, Gino?
A little bit, yeah.
Go ahead, Gino. The floor is yours.
Well, you know, obviously I've been skeptical of the figures that have been put out for quite a while. And, you know, right now I live in the city, and this whole weekend, as I was driving around, I went quite a few places around the Rochester area over the weekend. I didn't notice any increase in traffic whatsoever. And the question that really came up to me is like, okay, maybe there's people that came here, but they are, you know, not going to, you know, centralized areas. They're all dispersed around town, but still, there's only a few highways to get into town, and they were not really inundated with traffic. So if there were this half a million person influx of people to the area, where are they?
Okay, hold on, Gino. So I just got an email. I'm going to read this email. This comes from CT, who says, we've got a friend who's driving up to Brockport from Pennsylvania. He texted us to say that he had been sitting in gridlock traffic for over half an hour, and if he gets to be over an hour without moving, he's turning around and going home. So, you know, some, maybe this is a good point for me to say, anyone listening, if you're on the road right now and you can safely call, if there's a companion with you or if you're not moving and you can call 844-295-TALK, do it. I'd love to know what you're seeing on the throughways, the highways, the routes in, et cetera. 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester proper, 263-9994. Or if you, if it's easier, just send us a text or send us an email. An email address is connections@wxxi.org. So I think maybe, Gino, maybe in the next hour that starts to change. I will agree with you, though, and surely, Gino, when I say, when I drove into High Falls this morning, it felt, you know, like I was on the moon, for goodness sake. There was nobody here.
Well, yeah, and I consider that, you know, Brockport's the Rochester area, but we've been hearing for months and months that Rochester is going to see an influx of people. And then if it's just people going to Brockport, or going to areas around Rochester, and if they're actually, I mean, maybe leaving Rochester to go to these places, doesn't really seem like a big boon to the city that much as it does to maybe the region. So maybe there is people coming. I know there are people coming here. I've been out all day talking to people around the High Falls area. A lot. I've talked to a lot of out-of-towners that have come here to see this. Most of the people I talked to had other reasons to come into this area besides just the eclipse, but you know, there are people that came here, but I just don't think that the city itself is seeing what has been predicted is going to happen.
So in a moment, we're going to apparently get a field traffic report from Connections listeners because the board just lit up, which curiously means people are listening to public radio on Eclipse Day. Good for this community. I'm always glad to hear that. Hey, we're having this experience together. Gino, if we had had this eclipse with the weather we had over the last 48 hours, and I know we're not, I know we can't go back, but man, I think it might have changed your life, man. You might have had a spiritual experience in that perfect, sunny, cloudless sky.
I am losing out on anything transcendental today, that's correct.
Nothing can erode your cynicism. It's amazing, Gina. Your cynicism is just like a force of steel.
I'm a realist. I think looking around right now, I'm looking at reality, and it lines up with how I've been looking at things.
Okay. All right, last thing. Shirley is making a fair point, though. You have urged us to be wary of press releases that claim economic impact, visitor numbers that, you know, I think there's probably some data and some guesstimates there, but I think you appropriately warn people, don't just take those numbers home and assume that they're perfect.
Absolutely. And those numbers, those economic impact figures are very promotional in nature, and they're meant to encourage events in the future. Now, this is a unique one, but we see them for all different kinds of events that happen around the area. And yeah, you have to take them with a, heaping spoonful of salt, because they are, they're guesses, and they're motivated by the urge to want to make more money on things in the future. So that's always something to be aware of.
If I can convince you an hour from now to squeeze in one more call for us before 2 o'clock's up, we'll see if you've changed at all. But we'll see. Thanks, my friend.
All right.
Thanks, Gino.
All right. Bye.
Gino Finelli, WXXI Investigations and City Hall reporter. We're going to be fast. If you're on the phone, hang there. We're going to take all of your traffic reports real quick here. Chuck, Mark, Jack, get ready. Chuck in Rochester first. Chuck's a Lyft driver. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, in the last like 40-something rides, I've had one group of passengers that came in just for the eclipse.
Just one?
Just one. And the other thing that blows my mind is how many people in Rochester don't even know it's happening.
You've been driving people this weekend and people didn't know there's an eclipse happening?
They don't know there's an eclipse happening.
I'm a little concerned about them. Is their health okay, Chuck? Did you get a sense that they're going
to
be all right?
I don't know. I've been trying to sell eclipse glasses, you know, and when's that happening? You know, that's crazy.
Well, I guess I'm a little surprised, but I appreciate the report, Chuck. Be safe. Where are you going to be?
I'm heading out to Hamlin.
There you go. Enjoy it there. The farther west you go, the better chance. Thanks, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That's Chuck, a Lyft driver. Let's get Mark in Brockport next. Hello, Mark. Go ahead.
Hello there. Hey, I'm a courier. So far this morning, I've been from Gates to Batavia and back. Very, very light traffic on the thruway. Super light. And now I just arrived in Brockport from Gates. And again, surprised. Very little traffic. And that is my traffic report. I mean, things are just moving right along.
I wonder, Mark, if, you know, as CT said in the email about 10 minutes ago, maybe the heaviest traffic is heading north from the New York City area this way, but it doesn't seem to be on these local expressways right now.
No. Right now, locally, everything's good to go.
Thank you, Mark. Where are you going to be, by the way, for this eclipse?
I'm going to be in Gates.
In Gates. All right. Well,
in Gates, yep.
Good luck. West side of town. A little bit better odds. Hopefully, Mark gets to see something good. Jack is up in Webster. Hello, Jack. Go ahead.
Hey there, Evan. How you doing?
Good.
I'm driving up 390, 490 through the city. I'm on 590 headed to Webster now. I got to agree with the past two callers. It's looking like nothing up here. I've seen it worse on a rush hour on a Monday, honestly.
I have to think part of that, Jack, is because I want to be respectful and mindful of everyone who is working and can't get off work today. And, you know, there's certainly plenty of people in that category. But a lot of businesses are partially closed or fully closed today. And I think that's part of what we are seeing, at least at this point. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think some of it's the business are being closed. And I think, honestly, look at the clouds today. We had some relatives come up, and Monday morning they said we're seeing the eclipse. They left way early, driving to Vermont right now. So I think maybe the real eclipse heads, as you call them, are already out of the city.
Yeah, it could very well be. Could very well be. Well, for now, thank you, Jack. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Mark. This is an unusual 2 hours on Connections, really 3 hours. If you count the 3 to 4 hour, we will be live from 3 to 4 this afternoon, broadcasting from the roof. This is an unusual day. And I want to just sort of make clear to listeners who maybe tune in for what they might think is a kind of a normal Connections day. We know that everyone's kind of thinking about this eclipse today, and we want to experience this together. That's one of the mantras of this program. That's why we're asking for your traffic reports. I don't think we've ever done that in 10 years I've hosted the show. I don't think I've ever asked for a traffic report. But this is a relevant time for you to share what you are seeing if you want to do that, especially if you're seeing anything heavy. For now, I think what Chuck and Jack and Mark are telling us is that it's pretty light. It's a pretty good spot to be in for us right now. We're going to skip that one. Okay, so there's a lot in the next couple of hours that we're going to kind of talk about here, and we're going to be talking to Beth Adams about how our pets are handling this. And now I want to bring in a couple of colleagues from just down the hall, Yarms and Ruth Finney, with us here. Hello, everybody, on this very unusual Connections Day. My colleagues from Classical 91.5, and of course, you got that, Yarms? Okay, see, this is live radio, everybody. We're good. Welcome. Thanks for being here, Yarms. Hi, Ruth. Thanks
Hi.
For being here.
Great
so
to be here.
We asked our
Thank
colleagues
you.
To come in here because they've been very clever with how they've decided to program and approach this day here. And I want to give you the floor, Ruth, to talk a little bit about what you guys have kind of cooked up here.
Well, you know, honestly, when we first talked about the idea of creating a playlist for the eclipse, I thought we were kind of crazy. But it became more and more apparent that maybe this was a really good thing to do. So beginning just after 2 o'clock, about 2:05 or so, we have a virtually uninterrupted playlist of music that will run all the way up till just about 4:30, of music that has been curated by our classical hosts and put together and timed very carefully. So leading up to the eclipse, it's all music about darkness and the moon and things like that. We're going to hear Renee Fleming singing from Rusalka, O Moon, just moving pieces, Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, a wonderful new piece by Jared Ipichana Tate, an Native American man, called Winter Moons. And it's just really moving. All of this music has been curated It's wonderfully spiritual, wonderfully reflective. It will allow listeners to just be able to experience it with this wonderful soundtrack. And then, of course, as the full totality happens and the sun begins to come out, you can probably imagine what's going to happen when the sun starts to come out. We're going to hear the fanfare from also Sprach Zarathustra. And then we move into all pieces about light and mourning and from darkness to light, Eric Whitaker's Light and Gold. And we'll end our time together with two movements from Gustav Holst's The Planets. Mm. And it's just really been a beautiful curation of music provided by all of our hosts and literally timed very specifically to try to meet as things happen.
Program director for Classical 91.5, Ruth Finney, is with us. And it sounds like maybe you weren't cynical at first glance at this, but maybe you thought, you know, music. But it sounds like you've kind of really come around on this here.
Well, yes, definitely. Because last week, as we were putting these playlists together, I got to listen to them. And it was just, I could feel the sense of the experience, the emotion of what this is going to do and how this music is going to be able to complement it. I mean, granted, I think sometimes about the listening to music and the fact that maybe you won't hear the birds, you won't hear stop singing, you won't maybe hear some of that. But at the same time, this experience of the way this spiritual, reflective music has been put together will really just enhance things, I think, for listeners.
I think Ruth just made a really important point that I want to emphasize. Everyone has a bit of their own viewpoint on how they want to experience this. And I would never want to take that away from you. That's one of the reasons we're broadcasting connections from 3 to 4. We have a vibrant blind and visually impaired community, some who wouldn't want to be listening, some who very much will. We have people who just want to be tuning in and being part of a descriptive experience, and we're going to try to do our best with that, as kind of unusual as it is. There's people who have to work and can't get out of work. And I know that PBS has a feed, and we're going to be linking to the PBS NewsHour live stream of the eclipse for those who either can't get outside, can't experience it, aren't in the path of totality. So we're trying to be there however you kind of need us to. And Ruth's point's a good one. You may want to be alone on a hill with no sound at all. And you may want that really carefully curated playlist to kind of enhance that experience. And you may not. But if you do, there you go. You've got it at Classical 91.5.
And the wonderful thing is, if you're outside or wherever you are, download the WXXI app before you get out there, because you can take that with you wherever you are. If you're out on the beach, if you're out in a parking lot somewhere, you can take us with you. You don't have to be tied to the radio in your car or anything like that. Download the app, put your headphones in, and just listen to the music.
And we've had such a nice set of feedback already from our listening audience, some from right here in the Rochester Finger Lakes region, some from out of town. Pat, I don't want you to have to hang online. I just want to thank Pat for calling in. He's driving from Geneva to Canandaigua, and he said that route, Geneva to Canandaigua, is light right now. Not a lot of traffic. Beautiful sun, he says, peeking through. Okay. And an influx of people in Geneva at the lakefront there. No surprise, Geneva's a great place for this, and they're in the path of totality. Ryan Yarmel is the music director for The Root and host of Afternoons with Yarms.
Hello.
So you got a couple minutes to kind of fill us in on your playlist here and kind of get us excited, Yarms.
From the starting point, we decided to involve all the different hosts, hosts like Doug Curry from Blacks and Blues on Friday nights, or Jen Niffler, to name a few. She's our new Wednesday night host, to sort of source what inspires them about this event. And we probably had a list of 150 different songs of different things, all sorts of genres from all over the place. And then what my role was kind of was to like whittle it down and turn it into a really cohesive playlist that I think is kind of a patchwork of all the different genres that we represent on The Root.
Can I ask you for the totality song?
I can dive. What we're going to go with is sort of Eclipse by Pink Floyd.
By Pink Floyd?
Yeah.
Okay.
During Absolute Totality, because it actually is the same time length as Totality, about 2:10 or so.
Okay. And anything else you want to leave with listeners as they consider what playlist they want for this experience?
What I would say is, ask yourself, what is a song that you would probably feel that you'd want on a playlist like this? And there's probably something similar, if not that song, on this playlist. I'll make that strong claim.
I love it. All right. So let me ask both of our guests before they go. What's the easiest way for people to kind of get you remotely? I mean, I guess the apps, et cetera, Ruth?
The app, absolutely. And the full playlist for us will be in our, the classical playlist is online on our website. So, and that will be coming up. Even in the app, it will be telling you what piece is playing.
Wonderful. Yarms?
Same goes for us. You can stream on the app or and also see the playlist right at theroot.org.
Are you an optimist about this thing, too? Have you come around?
I am, and I like to think about any opportunity for us to communicate as a good one, even if we don't get the right result. Like, you know, even when, say, an emergency vehicle passes and we're all driving and everyone pulls over, that is even a moment of community where we're all doing the same thing. So I like to even reflect on that, and this is definitely another situation.
I think it's really well said. Things that bring us together in many, many different ways, and you've got a chance to be part of a lot of different communities today. Now you've known the music that could be the backdrop for that. Ryan Yarmel, Ruth Finney, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy. We'll see you all in the next couple of hours. So listeners, here we go. It's hour two of Connections coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to have a lot more for you from the business community, kind of talking about what they have seen over the last 48 hours. I want to keep hearing from you about what you're seeing. If traffic is picking up, definitely want to know about it. If things are starting to get a little bit better in your skies, you can let us know about it. You can email the program connections@wxxi.org, or you can give us a call. And at 3 o'clock, we're going to have a special live broadcast hour. So right here with you, experiencing this together. More to come.